magic number. Yes, it is. It's a magic number.
There is more to math than adding and subtracting, according to our guest this hour. And he's very sorry there are so many people out there who don't appreciate the profound ideas found in mathematics, or they don't know they do. We will find out how to fall in love with math this hour, and we'll wonder if you think you can, or if you're already in love with math. Why is that? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, September 24th. I regret somewhat that I dropped out of an advanced math class when I was in high school. I had fulfilled my requirement of geometry and algebra, and I was struggling at the next level. I think it was calculus. I don't remember. I knew I was going into journalism, and I thought to myself, I don't need this. And I didn't want to bring down my GPA by flunking out of it. I think I'm going to get a good talking to by our guest this hour. He says math deserves to be enjoyed for its own sake without constantly being subjected to the question, when will I need this? And he wrote a New York Times op-ed piece recently that math is about ideas above anything else, ideas that inform our existence, that permeate our universe and beyond, that can surprise and enthrall. Our guest is Manil Suri. He is a mathematics professor at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. He is also the author of several novels, most recently, The City of Devi. Or is it Devi? I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. He most recently wrote an editorial for the New York Times entitled How to Fall in Love with Math. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
What is the name of your novel?
Oh, it's called The City of Devi, and that's the mother goddess. It's set in Mumbai, like all my other novels. They're all set in India.
So you're a mathematics professor who writes fiction.
Yes, or you could put it the other way, a fiction writer who does mathematics, depending on which part of your audience you're catering to.
Well, I wish you were my math teacher. What motivated you to write How to Fall in Love with Math?
Well, it's sort of what you just said about people who, you know, might enjoy math, might like it enough, might even not do very well in it, but at some point you give it up. And there are things in math that people can react to, can enjoy without actually going through the calculation. So I think you were probably, you know, you're expecting a talking to, but I'm not going to actually give you that. So sorry to disappoint you. You probably made the right decision in the fact that you probably would not need calculus in your career. Most people probably don't, but there's still things in the subject that can enthrall all of us, and we don't really need to do calculations to get to those ideas.
Yeah. Well, what sort of ideas are in math?
All sorts of ideas. The ones that I talk about in the article deal with, you know, just looking at the numbers, for instance. Think of a company that could cater to all your needs. You make all these demands, and they are able to give you exactly what you want. That's what mathematics does with the decimal number system. I mean, that's the most basic example, where if you think about it, you know, you say that you want accuracy to 25 digits. Well, the decimal system is there to do that for you. So that's one example. Another example, which is actually my most favorite example, is how you can actually create numbers out of nothing. And the way you do that is you start with emptiness, and you essentially harness it to identify it with the number zero. And then you can, there's a fascinating way of actually creating one and two and three and four successively from that. So it's a way to actually create the numbers very similar to, you know, the way the universe is created in the Big Bang. There's something like that going on in mathematics as well, and you need to just look at a visual or see it written down to understand what happens. But it doesn't involve calculation.
So if that went over my head to some extent, does that mean that I'm never going to fall in love with math?
No, it means that you should go read my article, and there's a video that goes along with it, and look at that.
Oh, I missed the video. I did post the article on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page.
It's a little link at the words. I think at the words magic trick. So if you, it's probably on your Facebook page.
Yeah.
So if people click on that, they'll see the video.
Well, I'm wondering if there's a better way to teach math. I'm not blaming my high school teacher, but for some reason, I was getting along just fine with the algebra and the geometry, and then all of a sudden I hit a brick wall and I wasn't getting it. Does that happen very often?
Yes, it does. It happens more often than people will admit. It happens to mathematicians as well. I actually have met people in my classes who came across that hurdle and then really had to work hard to get over it. And then once you get over it, then things will flow smoothly. And there can be several reasons for it. Often it's a question of some little piece of the jigsaw puzzle having not really fallen correctly into place. You know, math is one of those subjects where you're building up on what you've learned before. So if even one thing hasn't been understood correctly, then you can have problems later on because everything is built upon that. So it's really essential. It almost requires some diagnosis to see what exactly didn't sit correctly, you know, what that hitch is or that kink is, and iron it out before you can really proceed smoothly. And, you know, that's of course, something that's hard to do in many cases. I mean, teachers are, you know, have lots of students to cater to. So that is a problem. And I'm not quite sure what the solution is except patience and interest and perseverance.
And you have encountered a number of adults who are taking up math now because they had that that obstacle way back when, and they want to take on the challenge?
The challenge is usually taken up by people who are trying to get a degree, a bachelor's or a master's or whatever, and they find that they don't have the math skills to continue. So they're suddenly, you know, confronted by this lack in their background. And so at that time, they do have a choice to either go back and try to correct whatever went wrong and to really, and that needs some time. You need to spend time to get that straightened out. In terms of other people who don't need that, they probably wouldn't take that step of going back into that. Sometimes they're painful memories and so on. However, some of those people will still profess a fascination for math or say that, okay, you know, I used to like math until this point. Show me something. You know, as you said, I'm a writer. I often go to writing colonies, and at these places, you're traditionally asked to, you know, read out something from your work, from your novel. But when they hear that I'm a mathematician, they say, okay, tell us something about math that we'll understand. And then I pull out my paper and pencil and start, you know, writing things down or drawing things for them, talk about infinity or something like that that can grab them. And usually, again, without any calculation, the ideas are interesting to understand.
And you work the mathematics into your novels?
The new novel actually is about a woman whose husband is missing and she has to go and find him. And you know, what was very central to this plot is a triangle, because there's a man, a mysterious gay character, who's also floating around in the story. And, you know, this triangle really popped up somewhere during the middle of the story where I couldn't figure out what to do. And I said, aha, this is the way to do it. But more than that, I decided that I would actually introduce essentially, but make my characters mathematicians, perhaps. Well, that was going too far, so I thought the public would never accept it. You know, people are so scared of math. So I made my main character, Sarita, the woman, a statistician, and her husband is a physicist, and this gay character is actually some sort of financial quant, so he does calculations too. So that's there in the background, but the book is really about, about this love triangle and what happens in this kind of dystopian universe in Bombay.
Interesting. We are talking about math. Are you afraid of math? Or do you love math? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with a mathematics professor at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, who's also a writer. And he wrote an op-ed for the New York Times on how to fall in love with math. And we're wondering if you think that's possible. Do you think there's more to math than just numbers and calculating? Do you appreciate the profound ideas that our guest is talking about that are involved in mathematics? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Checking our weather forecast for today, it's going to be sunny and mild with a high near 70 degrees, clear and cool tonight with some patchy fog with lows in the 40s. Tomorrow, sunny and mild with highs in the 70s. Coming up later today on the Ideas Network, it's Central Time between 3 and 6 this afternoon. After 3 o'clock, Veronica Rickard and Rob Ferret will take a look at the news of the day and learn about the importance of preventing falls among the elderly. Then they'll talk with a professor of business ethics who says that honesty, compassion, and good timing are the most important qualities of a good leader. That's coming up today after 3 on Central Time. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 21 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, September 24th. We are talking about falling in love with math. And we are wondering if you think you could do that or if you already do enjoy math, love math. Tell us why. Or if you have questions for our guest. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Manil Suri. He is a professor of mathematics at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. He is the author of several novels as well, including The City of Devi, and we are welcoming your thoughts and questions for him. He wrote an op-ed piece that appeared recently in the New York Times on how to fall in love with math. On Facebook, Gary says, math forces a person to be brutally honest with the world. If it doesn't add up, then it doesn't add up. No amount of political spin or ideological wishful thinking can change the answer from what it is. Math is to be revered, studied, practiced, and lived. What's your reaction to that, Professor Suri?
Well, he does say some truths in that, in the sense that if I'm grading a math paper, it's either right or wrong. A problem is either right or wrong. And also, math doesn't really subscribe to ideology in itself, in the sense that whether you're very liberal or very conservative, you know, the math is going to be the same. You can't really imbue it with your own political beliefs. So in that sense, it is very, it's a very pure subject. Now, the only thing that I would add to that is that, unfortunately, that purity can sometimes turn people off. It can appear austere. And the message that I'm trying to get to people is that that's not necessarily true. It's also a lot of fun, and there are parts of it that we can all enjoy, no matter what our intrinsic capabilities for appreciating math.
Well, you start your piece in the New York Times writing, "Each time I hear someone say, 'Do the math,' I grit my teeth." Why do you grit your teeth?
It's just because usually, when I've heard that expression, it's often said in a slightly snide way that, okay, do the math, you know, it's a simple answer, do the calculations, do the arithmetic. Usually it's something involving addition or multiplication and so on. And really what they mean is do the arithmetic. And, of course, that's the part of math that all of us learn when we are kids. And that, unfortunately, people think that's all of math. So it sort of reinforces the idea that math is just arithmetic calculations. And it isn't. So that's what I was trying to say in this piece, that there are ideas out there that we can all benefit from, or at least enjoy.
We have some callers. We go to Herb in Plainfield. I wonder if we can get Herb on the air. Herb, are you there?
I am. Yes,
okay.
I am. Good morning, Joy.
Good morning.
I'd just like to relate an experience that I had as a young guy. I'm 62 years old now, and back in about 1956 or 57, when I was in second grade, it was, and they came out with this stuff. It was called the New Math, and I remember that the book was put out. It was called the UICSM, and I believe it stood for the University of Illinois Chicago School of Mathematics. And they were giving us all of this stuff in second grade, and some of it was pretty abstract. You know, we dealt pretty much. They started out with set theory, and everything was couched in terms of set theory, the set whose members are, and everything, and the number line. And they relied pretty much on the number line to teach us math throughout the course of the 8 years that I took this. And now fast forward again a number of years, maybe 40 years or something like that. I needed to change careers and wanted to go back to school. And I took the entrance exam, and they administered this computer adaptive math test, and I'd never sat down. I'd never taken a test at a computer, or computer adaptive test, and so I started working away at these problems, and I'm going, and every once in a while you'd get one wrong, and the machine would back up and give you easier problems. So pretty soon I'm doing the quadratic equation, and then when they interpreted the results for me, the counselor said, "You had a really good day here in math." I said, "Really? No kidding." She says, "No, very few people do this well in math." And so I was kind of proud of that. But then when it came time to teach, when my kids came home from school with their math problems, and I couldn't relate to it at all, because they were no longer teaching the number line and set theory. And I'd kind of like to know, whatever happened to this universe? I don't know if your guest is familiar with this program.
Yeah. What kind of math are we teaching these days, Professor Suri?
Well, you know, that's a big problem. So I actually grew up in India, and I think in seventh grade, the set theory and the number line they sort of made their way to us. And so for 1 year, we had this new math, and I found it very interesting. But one of the problems was that the teachers had not been adequately prepared in terms of actually teaching it. And unfortunately, what happens is that there are many competing ways of teaching math. And so some of the ideas that are tried out might not be popular, might not work, might not have adequate training for teachers. And before long, someone else comes along with some other idea. And so there is this bouncing around that you see. And so different people in different parts of the country probably learn math in different ways. And this is a very controversial topic. And, you know, after my article was published, I got a lot of letters from people, some actually telling me about new ways they're teaching math, as someone in Canada who's doing a completely different way that's being tried in schools there. And then some other people complaining about exactly the question that your guest just mentioned, that they are unable to even help their students because the methods of teaching math have changed so much, and there's an insistence of doing math in a certain way, which sometimes can actually obfuscate the reason or the actual answer. So it's more on the method than actually getting the answer. So it's just such a broad topic that it's almost dangerous to get into it because there are different competing ways of teaching math in the country right now.
Well, we'll check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking about math and whether or not we can fall in love with it. What about you? Do you love math or do you hate math? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Manil Suri. He's a mathematics professor at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, and he recently wrote an editorial for the New York Times called How to Fall in Love with Math. And we will talk with him more after we check the latest news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It takes 3 days to make a tripod or to make a table stand. It takes 3 wheels to make a vehicle called a tricycle. Every triangle has 3 corners. Every triangle has 3 sides. No more, no less. You don't have to guess. We are talking with the author of a recent piece in the New York Times, How to Fall in Love with Math. And we welcome your questions and stories for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Do you love math or do you find it a little bit scary? And why? Do you think you use math? Do you appreciate the broader ideas found in mathematics? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is now 6:37 on this Tuesday, September 24th. Manil Suri is a mathematics professor at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. He is also the author of several novels, including his latest, The City of Debbie. And our next caller is Debbie in Madison. Hi, Debbie. You're on the air.
Hi. Joy, I want you to know I empathize with you about math to some degree because I never did get that slide rule thing. But I want to share with you that I grew up in the central city of Chicago as a young African-American girl in this particular community that in the past had not done well academically. I found myself in this small math class, which was ostensibly called algebra. And I had a elderly white school teacher who was teaching this small central city African American class of teaching us algebra. And what I noticed in this class is that she would invariably give me material from geometry and sometimes even trigonometry. I wanted to just do the algebra, which I was very, very good at. So, and I wanted to do it really quick so I could be left alone to escape in my own mind to places that were far away from that math class and even that community. And one day, though, as she kept giving me this increasingly harder material, which was different from what she was giving the rest of the class, I stayed after school and I told her that I thought she was being unfair to me by giving me work that was harder and different than the rest of the class. And I can remember her to this day, and you have to understand, I'm 55 years old now, and I was like middle school then. And I remember her to this day looking at me, and she said, Debbie, she said, do you know what the purpose of math is? I said, I know what the purpose of math is. This stuff, this geometry stuff, and trigonometry, I'm never going to use that in my house. She said, Debbie, She said the purpose of math is to teach you how to think and to teach you how to think for yourself. And I tell you, when she said that, it took my breath away in that moment. Because from that point on, when I started to do my math questions, I started to think about the way I was thinking. That in general, math wants both sides of the equation to be equal. And that need for equality extends beyond the things that I'm doing mathematically. It actually extends upon the rest of my life that things have to be equal and fair. They may not be equal and fair in that moment or on that line of math, but at the end of the day, it's got to be equal and it's got to be fair. I learned that from that lady. To this day, whenever I would do testing along the rest of my life, my math scores were always just as strong as my verbal and reading scores because I was always thinking about the way I was thinking during math questions. I owe that lady a debt of gratitude for stopping me in that moment to give me that insight into the purpose of math in my life. I just wanted to share that with you.
Wow, Debbie, just wow. Professor Suri.
Oh, that's such a heartwarming tale. That's such a wonderful story. There are two things that come out of it. And one is certainly exactly what you said, that it teaches you to think. The more math skills you have, the better you can analyze all the stuff that comes to you from newspapers, from politicians, from agencies, statistics, and so on. You know, there's a whole lot of stuff going on in the world, climate change, this, that. And you're always bombarded with claims. And if you have that kind of thinking capacity, you can sort of go through all of this and figure out which of these have merit or not. So that's one thing, even if you don't use math professionally in your career. And the other thing I want to point out is that the whole world of mathematics, there is a real imbalance in the sense that minorities in particular are not well represented in higher mathematics. And there is, in fact, a conference, an annual or biannual conference called Infinite Possibilities that is particularly targeted at school girls, at female students who are in minority, who are minorities, to try and encourage them to join math. And this is a wonderful network that exists throughout the country. And it sort of nurtures women in particular to go through not only school, but also an undergraduate and even a graduate degree. So if people out there are listening and if they're interested in math, and particularly if they're women and minorities, I would encourage them to look up this conference called Infinite Possibilities.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and thank you for that information on Infinite Possibilities. I also thought Debbie's comments on how not only did math teach her how to think, it taught her how to think about fairness and equality and profound ideas like that. And you're saying, too, that these ideas are what mathematics are all about.
Yes, absolutely. And the ideas are some of them are entertaining, and B, they even if you don't see the immediate use for them, someone like Debbie, who has been taught this, that it teaches you to think, you know, that message, once you accept it, then you're much less resistant to saying, well, when will I use this? You know, why do I have to do this? Because the whole idea of equality, as you said, is something that each equation is as one of your earlier callers said, it's brutally honest. There's no hiding behind this. It has to actually equal on both sides. So there is that purity of math that if people have more of that, I think we would really see a lot of less fantastic claims being bandied around in our society.
But she couldn't get the slide rule either.
But, well, I've never used the slide rule either. So.
Yeah, they're not using those anymore, are they?
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. Well, we have Jerry on Facebook who says, I always love math, and I remember the exact day in algebra when I was sitting in class, and I finally got it. My love of math grew by leaps and bounds from that day forward. So some of us might have an aha moment, Professor Suri?
Absolutely. I remember I was teaching a class in linear algebra, which is something that most math majors would take, and there was one student in particular who was just not getting it. And then he told me later that what really had the aha moment for him was a project that I gave where people had to actually analyze some sort of statistics related to how well different teams in the NFL were playing against each other, and set up all the information in a matrix and do some computations. And just that connection to something that he was really interested in, and that idea that this connection, this mathematics that he was doing could get him new knowledge, could really reveal new things from this data, I think that interest really made him, you know, pursue it in a very different way, think about it in a different way, and have that aha moment.
A caller who couldn't wait wanted to know how he could help his sophomore-aged daughter, I'm guessing that's high school, enjoy her math classes more. Does it take tutoring, for example?
Well, I think tutoring can certainly help to unlock any problems that the daughter might be having. But I think he is thinking about, I mean, there are two different things. One is to be able to actually adopt these skills and to be able to do well in the subject in school. And that requires, you know, that's where tutoring can help. That's where a lot of work on problems and, you know, sitting down, and if he has that capacity to try and understand what's going on, if he can help too, that's only one way of proceeding. But beyond that, there's also the question of interest. I think the more kids are interested in math, the more they might actually pay attention to what's happening and more really dive into their books. So the interest part, I would suggest that one thing that I tell parents is perhaps you can read a book together that actually has math in it. And two books that come to mind, or three books, one, there's a wonderful classical text called Flatland. That's something that, you know, I've seen parents read with their kids. Another book that's really, really fun is called Fermat's Enigma, and it's by Simon Singh. And it sort of looks at the most amazing problem in math, and it puts it in very simple language and takes you through the history of math. And it's filled with really fun stuff. It was a New York Times bestseller for many weeks when it first came out. And then the third book I would also say is actually a novel, and it's called The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime by Mark Haddon. And this is about an autistic kid. He actually has Asperger's syndrome, and he looks at the whole world mathematically. So he keeps translating what's happening around him in terms of math. So there are little tidbits throughout the book that really point you towards very interesting problems in math. And so that's another fantastic read. So if parents, you know, have the time, maybe get two copies of any of these books and read them with your kids.
We are talking with a guest who is a mathematics professor, and he's a writer. He has written several novels, and in some of them he incorporates mathematical concepts. Most recently, his latest novel is City of Devi. He is also a mathematics professor at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. He wrote a piece for the New York Times recently entitled How to Fall in Love with Math, and that's what we're talking about, how we can enjoy math, how math can be interesting and fun, and how math isn't just about the numbers, that math is about ideas. He writes, ideas that inform our existence, that permeate our universe and beyond, ideas that can surprise and enthrall. So do you have this kind of love of mathematics, or are you still a little bit afraid of it? Let us know. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Is a magic number. Yes, it is. It's a magic number.
Well, we are talking about magic numbers. We're talking about falling in love with math. Are you in love with math, or do you not like it so much? Is it too hard? Are you afraid of it? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Have you ever said, I'm never going to use this, I don't need, you know, this advanced mathematics? Well, you may need it in terms of how to think and the profound ideas that are involved in mathematics, according to our guest, Manil Suri, a mathematics professor at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So Nick in Butler wants to know, Professor Suri, if you can talk about the link between mathematics and music.
Yes, certainly. I mean, there are many different links and many ways of thinking about this. But one thing that I've been talking about in universities and so on is a little talk that I have that shows the link between mathematical ideas in algebra, in higher algebra, and day-to-day ways that we create music and also fiction and other art forms. And this idea goes back to, if you look at any piece of music, what does it consist of? If you've seen some of these audio equipment pieces which have an oscilloscope, you'll see that, you know, when you play music, you see this alternating, this waveform that comes up on the screen. And so any piece of music can actually be resolved into its component frequencies, which show up on the screen. And so there are these audio components that will actually resolve music into these pieces. So any piece of music that you think of is actually made up of these different strands, and these are contributions or components. And this whole idea of resolving music into its strands is a very important one that's used in, is used to not only create music, which is what a synthesizer does. It takes these strands and goes backwards and actually makes music, but also to understand music, to see what's happening in it, to analyze it. Well, this is a very mathematical idea. And there's a whole theory behind this. In fact, the technical term for these simple components, these simple sine waves that you see, they're called Fourier series. And so the whole idea of taking a piece of music and resolving it into its different components is something that comes up in algebra. It's higher algebra. It comes up in analysis. It comes up in calculus. But you can actually analyze music that way. This idea of taking something, breaking it up into its component pieces, and then using those pieces to reconstruct different works, or using those pieces to just understand the piece that you've just broken up, this is sort of the basis of something called vector spaces in math. And what mathematicians do is they take this whole process and make it more abstract. They sort of take out the essence of this process. And the reason for that is that you can then use it in different fields. You can use it in image reconstruction. So that's where the connection with art comes up. A similar idea has even been used in deconstruction in literature. I don't know if there are any literary theorists out there, but there's a famous book by Vladimir Propp, where he looked at 100 different Russian folk tales, and he found that they all consisted of the same 31 plot components. So he was taking all these pieces of story, fiction, and finding the basic building blocks of those and showing that all of these pieces of fiction could be reconstructed from these plot components. So I'm just trying to give you an idea of a sense of how these mathematical ideas sort of transcend boundaries, and you can find them in different disciplines and with different applications.
Yeah, you related yoga to the enjoyment of math in your article. How did you do that?
Yes. Well, I said, you know, this is a neat thing to sort of sit down in a yoga chamber, perhaps have some good music playing in the background, and either visually or just mentally think of a square first, then think of a pentagon, then think of a hexagon, then think of, you know, figures with regular polygons with more and more sides. So think of something with 10 sides, with 12 sides, with 20 sides. And what will happen is, and it's, this happens especially if you try to draw it, you'll see that this figure that you have that has more and more sides, it sort of starts tending to something else. It sort of becomes transforming into something else, and it starts transforming into a circle. So the polygon, as you increase the number of sides, will eventually become closer and closer to simply a circle, because all the sides sort of become dots, essentially, and all the kinks straighten out. And this idea of limits, is essentially what all of calculus is built upon. I mean, calculus deals with these kinds of infinite processes where you get something else in the end. And it's a way of using infinity to actually give us some answers about finite quantities or finite objects. So that's sort of...
I'm going to have to try that. I'm going to have to try that in my yoga class.
Yeah, you should.
Gary in Ripon is with us. Hello, Gary. We're almost out of time, but please go ahead.
All right. I still have my slide rule, and there are things about it I like. But I wish this conversation was not about whether people should really like math or really hate math. Math is just part of life, and we should... I wish we had a more cultural attitude that it's not just for socially inept people who are extremely good at it, but it's just part of life. It's like cooking, and as a person, you would know some.
Well, I think that's what you kind of are hoping, that we have sort of a cultural attitude that math is important, and it's important for our life, Professor Suri.
Exactly. In fact, that was my aim, to try and bring math into the cultural arena, because math has a very low cultural profile. So if you can engage people with math, whether they, you know, are interested in the calculation, in the use, or just in the enjoyment, I think it should be more of our dialogue. And that's what's great about this show, that we are actually talking about something that is almost never talked about. You never see articles about it, very rarely, in the newspapers. You can't go to a museum and appreciate math like you can art or music. And so that's what I'm trying to do, say that, okay, let's bring math into the cultural arena.
And I think you did a great job. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Manil Suri is a mathematics professor at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. He is also the author of several novels, most recently The City of Devi. And he wrote an editorial, an op-ed piece for the New York Times called How to Fall in Love with Math. Check it out on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Thanks to Robin Cherry for producing and directing this program. Thanks to Christy Taylor for on-air production. And thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.